those angels that had fallen that we call demons, and now we're talking about Satan. And last week we talked about the timing of his fall. We talked about the nature of Lucifer's fall. We talked about the impact of Lucifer's fall. We talked about his sin, those type of things. And we came down to the impact, and we got the first part, number A, done. He led other angels to fall. But then the second thing that we're going to look at, he tempted Adam and Eve to sin. You know where it's at. It's in Genesis chapter 3. It's in verses 1 through 6. And I'm going to read that somewhat slowly. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, what it's talking about in verses 1 through 6 is Satan's strategy. And his strategy is how he gets us to fall for the lie. And he is the father of lies, and we know that everything that he says is a lie. And we look at verse 1 and part A, and the first thing that Satan did, you'll notice, he disguised himself. Did you see that? He disguised himself, more cunning than any beast of the field. That serpent was. So Eve, it seems strange to us that she didn't even seem disturbed that this serpent was speaking to her. And you might think, well, why in the world would she not be concerned? Well, remember at this point, she doesn't know sin. All she knows is perfection. All she knows is holiness. All she knows is righteousness. She doesn't know anything else. And the serpent speaks to her. But then look at part B of that. I'm going to read the whole text again. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the serpent, said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" Now, did you notice what Satan does in the part B of that verse? He questions the word of God. He questions God. Did God really say this? I mean, and that's where the rub comes in our life too. I mean, when we say, well, I don't know if God really meant that or not. But did you notice, as you saw that, did you notice the target of the serpent? You say, well, it was Eve. Well, yes, but it was her mind. Did God really say that? So where was the attack at? The mind. The attack always starts in the mind. And then what he did, he questioned the word of God, and then even added to the word of God as we look down a little bit further. Look at verse number 2. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, "You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die."' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Satan there denies the word of God. And it's direct conflict to what God had said. Now, and it's a direct conflict to in verse 17 of chapter 2. Anybody want to read that for us? Anybody have their Bibles open? Chapter 2, verse 17. Read it out loud, Vern. Have a good voice for us. He's old. Did God really say you will die? Now, come on. Now, here's the problem. When we linger at the place of temptation, we are then putting ourselves in a troubled spot. And generally, when you put yourself in those troubled spots, you're not going to be able to extract yourself as easily as you desire. And more than likely, when you begin to debate about the issues, not only deny the truth, but then you start debating. Well, I don't know, this is not so bad. Then you begin to fall. Then, watch what happens next. Verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So, Satan here substitutes a lie. And, by the way, have you ever in your life seen so many people on news channels that just don't speak the truth? Isn't it unreal? I mean, you can't find the truth. And it's like the writer of Proverbs said, truth has fallen in the street and can't get up. Wouldn't you just like to have truth? And then you make your mind up, is that truth or not? But we're told by conflicting sources, well, this is truth. And I'll mention this a little bit. I don't want to get on a soapbox because I'll mention it a little bit in my message on truth in John chapter 8, starting in verse 12 this week. And not casting any stones, but it'll sound like I am, but I'm not. And I was watching, I don't know, ABC last night. I was watching just a few minutes of news. I just catch a few minutes. And I'm not even going to say the name. A high-ranking official in our government was at a college, and the student was bashing Israel and saying they were committing genocide. And here's what that person said, that high-ranking official. Well, that is your truth. There is only truth. There's not my truth and your truth. There's only truth. But the problem is, there is no truth. We can't find truth anymore because, you know, that's what we say. Well, that may be your truth. That's not my truth. Well, no, truth has always been truth. And a lie has always been a lie. And Satan is the father of lies. And unfortunately, that's what we have come to the place that we're like, well, that's okay. I mean, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. No, we don't get to choose what's truth. We just get to either accept it or go against it. Now watch what happens in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Here's the tragedy. When we believe a lie, we have started down a slippery slope, and where do you stop? Where do you stop? So, we see that Adam and Eve were tempted, just Eve at this point, but we're going to read a little bit further. Our next text in Genesis chapter 3 starts in verse 14. And I want you to see the penalty because of Satan and what he led Adam and Eve into. Here's the penalty that comes with it that you and I are still reaping today. Now in verse 14 of chapter 3 it says, "So the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all of the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life.'" First, the penalty for the serpent. Did you notice it? Dust. What does that mean? That's humiliation. That's humiliation. You're going to be humiliated the rest of your life. Now, you know what sin does? It brings humiliation, doesn't it? It brings humiliation. Now, we go on down just a little bit further in verse 15, and it said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the cross. Did you catch that? Put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now, she doesn't have a seed. The man has the seed. So what's it talking about? It's talking about the Virgin Mary. This is the first mention of the gospel that we have in the Word of God. It's called the pre-evangelion in theological circles. Like you really care, but that's what it's called. It's called the first gospel. Now, we go on down. And to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception and pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. To the woman, there'll be pain in childbirth. And then that thing that nobody likes to talk about, submission. But by the way, when you come to the New Testament, submission biblically isn't talking about I have my thumb over you and I'm controlling you and you do exactly what I say. You come to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 and it says that we are to submit to one another, husbands and wives. We're to submit to one another. Now, I always like to say it like this. When you got married, the two of you became how many? One, right? So, does a army of one need a general? General Jesus is it. We take our direction from him. We submit to one another and the fear of the Lord. And you know the rest of that passage. We're not going to go there. That's not my intention tonight. Then to Adam. So first, he gives the penalty to the serpent. Then he gives the penalty to the woman. And basically, when he gave Satan the penalty, do you know what God was basically saying? I'm declaring war against you, Satan. Because Satan had already declared war, and God's saying, I'm declaring war against you. And he would bring the woman into the world to bring the Redeemer into the world. Let's move down a little bit further. And we'll look at verse 17, 18, and then 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you. And by the way, Adam was the one responsible for telling Eve what they could do and what they couldn't do. So don't just blame Eve. Behold, you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Because of this, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And then let's go to verse 19. It said, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now, the curse to the man was labor by the sweat of your brow. You're going to toil. How many of you have a little farm or have had a little farm? How often do you have to bush hog? What happens if you don't, David? Grows up. Then it's useless, isn't it? And if you don't take care of it, if you don't maintain it, then it's out of control and it's not usable. So you're going to labor and you're going to toil, and then guess what's going to happen? With all your labor and all your toil, then you're going to die. Then you're going to die. That's the curse. And then who's going to take care of it then? Don't point at me, Vern. Yes, I know I'm taking care of yours, but but that's what it says. I mean, that's pretty tough, isn't it? That's what happened. That's the impact of Lucifer's fall on mankind. He led other angels to fall. He led Adam and Eve to fall, which in turn infected the whole human race. And the DNA of Adam and Eve is our DNA today, and we are born sinners. And then we choose to be sinners. And guess what? Once we do that, we too toil and labor and go through all of those other issues. Enough about that. Any question on that?
God gave his son that we might be able to bear sins that we've inherited.
Absolutely.
Because the only way that you can live on this earth is to know about God and his works and his son is to know that your
Absolutely. Yeah, but I mean that's the whole thing. That's that first gospel. He came. Yeah. Without Jesus coming, we have no hope. We have no future. We have no life. We have no forgiveness of sins. We have this burden, this weight. How many have ever said when you got saved? Not usually. When I was 9 and a half years old, so I didn't have, just this huge burden. But people that are a bit older, like the guy buried today, Tuffy. You know, he wasn't a Christian until later in life, and it was like the whole world was removed off his shoulders when he gave his life to Christ. Did you want to say something, Vern? Good point. Vern's point is, once he got married, he didn't know a lot about women, but he said, when she cooks for you, you never complain. You just eat it. I agree. The impact of Lucifer's fall, third. God prepared the lake of fire. God prepared the lake of fire. And we see that in Matthew 25:41. It says, then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. But watch whom the fire was prepared for. The devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for mankind because of the point that you just made. God sent his son into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. And I think all of us could put our name there. I am chief. So, hell wasn't prepared for mankind. Mankind makes the choice to go there. Now, the passage that we're speaking about is happening after the tribulation, when judgment comes and the sheep and the goats, and then, if you read the rest of that passage, you know what it says. The righteous, the sheep, are going to say, Lord, when did we come and do these things to you? When did we feed you? When did we see you in prison? When did we give you a cup of cold water? When did we give you clothes? When did we do this? And he'll say, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to my brethren. So, if you ever are wondering about helping somebody and you help them and you're one thing with that, it's not your responsibility. Our responsibility is simply to help. Let God sort it out. And I know we want to be judgmental. But you know, I'm so glad that God's not so judgmental with me. And he gives us grace that's sufficient. The next thing I want to speak about is the judgment of Satan for his sin. Now, there's the immediate judgment that we have. And the immediate judgment is in Ezekiel 28, verses 16 through 19. What happened? He lost his high, exalted position in God's presence. And our text says, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence from within. And here's what happened. You sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. So, what happened to Satan... is he was cast out of the very presence of God. He was no longer a holy angel. And he is being judged. That was his immediate judgment. But there's also the ultimate judgment. And we've talked a little bit about hell, but that's the lake of fire. And look at Isaiah. We have a passage in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, that says these words. Did I not put it down, guys? I'm sorry. Okay. Again, that passage about the fall of Satan. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Here is the ultimate judgment that you're going to receive for desiring to have my lofty position that only Heavenly Father can have. And then we see not only that, but we see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And this is after the last battle. Satan, the battle of Armageddon is taking place. Satan's been put in a pit in verse 3 of chapter 20 in Revelation. And then for a short period of time, he's brought up out of the pit. And then final judgment, and it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, that's the ultimate judgment. Now, I want you to understand something. Some people believe in annihilation, that once you've suffered enough, God just annihilates you and you just go out of existence. Not true. The same word in the original Greek language that God uses for everlasting, for heaven, is the same word that's used for everlasting, for hell. It's unending. Unending. I don't know, that ought to scare people into desiring to know Jesus. But you know what? I'm witnessing to a 92-year-old man in the hospital right now. I witnessed to him yesterday. Known him for a long time. Hadn't seen him in many, many years. And after we visited for about probably 10 minutes, I got up and I said, called his name. I said, Lloyd, I won't tell you his last name, can I pray with you? He took my hand. Tears streamed down his cheeks. And he didn't know what to say. I said, Lloyd, let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Have you asked him to forgive? And he just said, I'm a blank old sinner. I said, yep, every one of us are old sinners. But you know what? God can forgive you your sin. Well, I've lived this way all my life. I hate to change it now. I said, you shouldn't hate to change it now. You should be desirous to change it now because God's given you the opportunity. Well, I just don't think I'm ready. I said, you don't have much time. You better get ready. I said, I'm coming back tomorrow, which is today. Same thing. Tears just stream. Both days I've gone to that room heartbroken. Lord willing, if he's there tomorrow, I'm going back. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But it breaks your heart. Let's look just a couple more minutes. Names, his name, Satan's names, primary names and titles of Satan. Number one is Satan. That's a primary name of Satan. It's Satan, of Lucifer, Satan. And 1 Chronicles 21:1. Nope. Oh, well, why don't we just stop right there? That's a good place to stop. Okay. All right. You know, I think it's so important that we know doctrine. It's so easy. So easy. Just to do a little devotional. But we need to know the truth. And as we talked about Sunday morning, this coming Sunday morning, I'll give you the sermon title. Truth. It will either make you mad or set you free. It will either make you mad or set you free. I want to be set free. And I have been set free, thank the Lord. All right. Thank you for your attendance tonight. Pray for the Cullen family tomorrow, little Olivia's service. Pray for her mama, daddy, grandparents, and her sister. Sad, 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 heartbreaking stuff. Any word from anybody before we dismiss? Let's stand together. All right. Bill Loomis, would you close us, please?